Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, a proud supporter of Living on Earth. My dream is that after you finish eating our organic yogurt, you can eat the cup. That way, there's nothing to even recycle. Learn more about our green packaging ideas at stonyfield.com.
If you're going to live in Norway, you have to be a hardy creature, capable of enduring long, dark winters. But adaptation to the cold climate can sometimes be deadly if things warm up. Reporter Ari Daniel Shapiro has our story.
Looking for something that's dark, brown, and hairy.
That's Tord Bretten, a park ranger in Dovrefjell, a mountain range in south-central Norway. And he's looking for musk oxen, or Ovibos moschatus. He walks across spongy lichens until finally he stops and scans the landscape.
Did you spot one, Tord?
Yes, we have one male between the small stream and the biggest snow patch.
Oh, that black spot? Yeah, that black spot.
Yes.
Can I look through your binoculars?
Yes.
This male weighs close to half a ton. Two horns curl out of his shaggy head. He's healthy and robust, like the other 300 or so animals in the herd. But back in 2006, Bretten had a mystery on his hands. Dead musk oxen were turning up everywhere.
I was out every day, and we found musk oxes all the time.
Dead?
Yes, and some of them we had a small herd of five here. I saw every day for 3 days, and the third day, there were just four. One of them had died, and she was, I saw her. It was a full-grown cow. I saw her the day before, and she didn't look ill at all. Next day, she was just dead.
25 dead animals were found that season. Another 60 went missing from the herd, and they were presumed dead.
Well, I was a bit worried that the population could get extinguished. I grew up down here. I'm used to them. I like them. I've seen them almost all my life. It would be a pity if they disappear.
There was no obvious cause of death, so Bretten invited Bjørnar Itrehus to come visit. He's a vet with the Norwegian Veterinary Institute, and he was just as puzzled. The animals had plenty of fat reserves. Their bellies were full of food. It looked like they just dropped in place. But then he looked at their lungs.
The lower part of the lungs was stark, firm, and with a lot of liquid inside. Bloody, watery cut surface. These were signs of pneumonia.
A pneumonia caused by Pasteurella bacteria. Itrehus had seen this kind of thing in sheep and reindeer before, and he knew that it's usually related to some kind of stress. As for what had stressed the musk oxen?
The temperature in this period had reached an all-time high.
It was the fall, and so the musk oxen had already grown in their warm winter wool. They were overheating.
When they experience heat, they have to pant to get rid of the heat. And this will accumulate bacteria that normally are found in the throat into the lungs.
Which is what led to the pneumonia. Usually, the cooler, drier mountains of Dovrefjell are an ideal place for the musk oxen. In fact, since the 2006 die-off, when a third of the animals were lost, the temperatures have cooled and the herds recovered. But Itrehus worries that it could happen again.
As the climate changes, the climate on the mountain will also change in a warmer and wetter direction.
It's worth pointing out that musk oxen disappeared from Norway after the last ice age, once it got too warm here. So the musk oxen in Dovrefjell today were not originally from Norway. They were brought over from Greenland back in the 40s, and they were deposited in Dovrefjell, one of the few places in Norway today where the climate's right for them. Bjørnar Itrehus's great-uncle was partly responsible for the transport of these animals. He was working in Greenland in the 40s and 50s.
He was lending his sledge dogs to the people who wanted to catch calves. He regarded that as one of the worst things he had done in his life.
Why?
Oh, because they killed the adult musk oxen to capture the calves. Then the calves were crying for their mothers. And they brought the calves on board a ship and took it back to Norway. And I think he regarded that as a terrible thing to do now, that he is an old man. But I'm sort of comforting him in that it is great that we have musk oxen on Dovre and that they may have some use for us now.
Itrehus sees these musk oxen as environmental sentinels, warning us about what could happen to animals in a world that's getting warmer and wetter. The musk oxen were transplanted here to recall Norway's past. But they may have more to say about the future. For Living on Earth, I'm Ari Daniel Shapiro.
Our musk oxen story comes to us from the series One Species at a Time. It's produced by Atlantic Public Media with support from the Encyclopedia of Life. For more, follow the herd to our website, loe.org. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Bobby Bascom, Eileen Balinski, Jessica Elise Kern, Ingrid Lobet, Helen Palmer, and Ike Shriskandaraja. With help from Sarah Calkins, Mark Fabian, Max Geller, Eben Pendleton, Gabriella Romano, and Sammy Souza. Our interns are Mary Bates and Sophie Golden. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Lierish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us anytime at loe.org, and while you're online, check out our sister program, Planet Harmony. Planet Harmony welcomes all and pays special attention to stories affecting communities of color. Log on and join the discussion at myplanetharmony.com. And don't forget to check out the Living on Earth Facebook page. It's PRI's Living on Earth. And you can follow us on Twitter at Living on Earth. That's just one word. Steve Kerwood is our executive producer. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science. And Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield invites you to just eat organic for a day. Details at justeatorganic.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners, the Go Forward Fund, and Pax World Mutual and Exchange Traded Funds, integrating environmental, social, and governance factors into investment analysis and decision-making. On the web at paxworld.com. Pax World, for tomorrow.
PRI, Public Radio International.